time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I had my first frost on October 4th. Probably many of you did as well. At any rate, I was prompted by a conversation with my friend Dallas Hudson to look back and see what exactly has been going on with the frost in northern Minnesota. And here is what I discovered. So talking about frost-free days, that is the period of time between the last frost in the spring and the first frost in the fall. And these numbers reflect just the first frost in the fall. So I have two numbers in the fall. I have the first time it goes below 32, and then I have the first time it goes below 29. And 29 I call a killing frost. That is, you know, even your Brussels sprouts are likely to show a little signs at 29. Water freezes. So at any rate, I broke it down into 10-year segments, starting in 1984 and ending in 1993. We averaged 118 frost-free days. From 94 to 2003, we averaged 137 frost-free days. 19 days more frost-free period between 94 and 2003 than in 84 to 93. From 2004 to 2013, we averaged 124 frost-free days. And from 2014 until the present, so the last one was a group of 11 years from 14 to 24, in the last 11 years, we have averaged 141 frost-free days. That is phenomenal. That is an unbelievable change. And the period from 94 to 2003, I got to wondering how it jumped so high, because it was 13 days longer than the next 10-year period. In that period, 94 to 2003, we had 6 years where we had our final frost in the fall, or in the spring, came before the 10th of May. And only 1 year during that period did we have a first frost before the 20th of September. And that was on the 15th of September in the year 2000. So we had an unusually long period there with early last frost and later first frosts. And if you look at all of the records that I have at my house, in the 41 years, I have 11 first frosts in October. And of those 11 first frosts that occurred in October, 5 of them have occurred since 2016. So in the last 9 years, we've had 5 first frosts in October. And prior to that, in the previous 32 years, we had 6 frosts that occurred in October. So we are definitely pushing the frosts, both earlier and later. And this year, 2024, we set a record of 162 frost-free days. Previous record was 159, and that was the year before. So in the last 2 years, we have had 159 frost-free days and 162 frost-free days. We had our last frost. I had my last frost on April 25th, 30 degrees that morning. And I had my first frost on October 4th. And if you do the math in there, you'll end up with 162 days with no frost. You can grow a lot of things in 162 days. On other subjects, looking at other things that are happening, I'm a little intrigued by the colors of the maples. And I have seen some spectacular maples, But just walking around my property, I have maples that are still as green as a Granny Smith apple. And I have red maples that are as red as Red Delicious. I have everything in between. And I even have a couple of trees that have already passed and have dropped their leaves. And that strong wind that we got over the weekend, that really took a lot of leaves off of a lot of trees. But we still have a lot of green out there. The aspens are just starting to turn. When I went to Lake Superior last weekend, weekend before this past one, I guess, I noticed when I got over kind of south of Eveleth on Highway 16, going towards Mackinac and out that way, I noticed that the aspens were pretty yellow. That they were definitely more yellow than green. And now, at my house, I have several aspens that are quite yellow, some that are probably at their peak of color, and I have other aspens, one particular clone that is a group of about a dozen really old aspens, 70-year-old aspens maybe, big. One of them has an eagle's nest in it. But that cohort, that clone of aspens is still green. And over the years, watching that group of aspens, they have a kind of a different phenology from the aspens that are growing right nearby, just across the trail. On one side of the trail, the aspens are yellow and are on their way toward senescence. And on the other side of the trail, the aspens are like, yeah, whatever. We'll get to winter when it comes. We're not going anywhere right now. So look at the trees, appreciate the fact that some are quite green and some are quite yellow or red as the colors may be, and enjoy them. I think that our peak of color for maples is probably about now, which is about a week to 10 days later than my average. My average is usually the 27th, 28th of September. And I would be thinking that we are probably now beginning to approach our peak of color. There's a horse chestnut that I keep an eye on that grows near the river road. And it is at peak of color right now. And typically this time of year, that tree would be bare. The leaves would be off of that tree. Just gives you an idea of the kind of weather we've been experiencing, the warmth of the weather that we are experiencing here. It is, the forecast is for near 80 degrees on Thursday again, so that's just unbelievable. I took a bike ride last night, and the one thing that I noticed that just jumped out at me from the forest edge, not so much the maples, which were colorful, but the round-leaf dogwoods are absolutely stunning right now, and they ranged from a pale pink to a deep burgundy and everything in between. But if you're riding along this morning or if you're driving, however you're moving, check out the undergrowth. The round-leaf dogwood has big round leaves. They're 3 or 4 inches across and about the same for length. So they're quite round. They're not perfectly round like a softball, but they are definitely round in their overall shape. And they are red as can be. They are all over the red spectrum, as I mentioned, from pink to burgundy and everything in between, with some really gorgeous ones. But the predominant red that you're seeing in the woods right now is round-leaf dogwood of the shrubs. There are maples out there that are standing pretty tall and are showing lots of color, but our dogwood, the shrub dogwoods, are really showing a lot of color. There's another bush that is going to come on pretty strong in the next week or so, and that is a low-growing plant called the downy arrowwood. And downy arrowwood is usually not more than 4 feet tall, 4 or 5 feet tall, and it's going to become very, very deep burgundy. I would say purple, but there's not enough blue in it. It's more red. So it is a deep, deep red, think burgundy color. And it will begin to shine over the next couple of weeks, especially as the hazel begins to clear. Now, typically, I always tell my friends that grouse hunting really picks up after the 1st of October because finally the leaves are off of the hazel and you can see well enough to get a shot off at the birds that you're flushing. Well, there are still probably a quarter of the leaves remaining on the hazel. They're going, but they're not going as fast as they might have in other years. So it's taking a while for them to kind of clear up and for the undergrowth to open up. Those and the dogwoods, it's still kind of I flushed a couple of birds over the last couple of days and I heard them, but I did not get a good look at them because of the nature of the leaf structures that are still out there. So there are a lot of leaves still hanging around. Among the other things that I've seen, last eastern bluebirds, which is about 3 days late, I had sandhill cranes, Harris sparrows. The Harris sparrow is a fairly large sparrow, not as big as a robin, but bigger than most, bigger than the white-throated sparrows, which are at my feeder. And I have both adult and juvenile white-throated sparrows. And I had adult and juvenile Harris sparrows. The juveniles, the black is sort of predominant below the chin, but above the beak, there is very little black. You can see it, but it's not really the dominant color of the head of an immature Harris sparrow. The mature Harris sparrow has this black, runs from the top of its head right around its beak, down its cheeks, and down its throat in a big black band. You've seen on these football players that put that black eyeshadow under their eyes. Imagine if instead of going horizontally, you went vertically on the Harris sparrow and started at the middle of its head and went down into the middle of its chest. That is the Harris sparrow. Pretty recognizable bird. My nanny berry is kind of done for the year. It's right down to its last few leaves. The common garter snake that the Nalen brothers found was 15 days later than my average latest ever. And I had a really unique experience with a green darner dragonfly on Sunday. I was out for a hike and I saw it and I stopped and tried to get a picture of it. I got about 4 or 5 feet away from it and it flew off and I watched it fly around and it came back and landed right where I left. So I was still 4 feet away from it and I took another picture of it. And then I sat down and it flew off again, but it came right back to the same spot. In fact, it was even closer the third time it came back and I got some wonderful close-up pictures and I'll turn those over to Heidi and let her put those on the KEXE Season Watch website so you can look at them because the green darner is a remarkably beautiful dragonfly. Big green thorax, and this one has sort of a purple tail. It's got a blue dot right on the top of its face, right sort of at the base of its eyes. It's got a little cream-colored border on the front of each of its wings, just a thin line. Imagine you took a very fine pen and drew a thin line of sort of cream color on the forward edge of each of its wings. It is just a stunning dragonfly and a big one. And they are migratory, so this one is probably on its way down to a location where it can survive the winter. And who knows, maybe it'll come back again in the spring and I'll get to see it once again. Lots of red meadowhawk dragonflies out there. The common meadowhawk dragonfly this time of year is the whiteface or the autumn, and both of them are very prominent and likely to be around until we get some serious frost. My latest observation of the meadowhawk dragonflies is November 5th. The northern holly berries are still on one of the plants that I watch. One of them, which grows in a swamp, was completely cleared. I couldn't believe it because it had a lot of berries on it, and suddenly it was naked. And I don't know if it's the flock of marauding robins in the area, or if it's ruffed grouse, or it might have even been white-throated sparrows. All of them sort of turn on those berries and eat them when they're ripe. Tamaracks, the ones, some tamaracks are starting to turn a little bit in some of the swamps I've been watching, but the highland, the upland tamaracks around my house, the ones that I look at for my phenology notes, are still 100% green. The pines, jack pine, white pine, and red pine and white pine are dropping their needles. Lots and lots of needles are falling from those pines. The jack pines don't appear to have begun to drop their needles yet. And monarchs, seven days a week later than average, October 6th, that was seen by my neighbor Marvin, and there were a bunch of reports in the children's phenology, the children's talkback programs, that pointed out the fact that they were seeing monarchs as well. So lots of things to look at this time of year. We're in early October. By the end of the month, we'll be down to just the yellow of the willows. And who knows, this year, maybe there'll still be a tamarack or two that are holding on to some of their needles. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again next week.